Welcome to the Minerals and Royalties Podcast, the home of CEOs and investors in the minerals and royalties space.
Hey guys, this is Tim Powell from the Minerals and Royalties Authority. I recently sat down with Stephen Hatcher, the creator of Minerals Guide, a social media content platform that's aimed to help educate individual minerals owners and landowners. During the episode, Stephen and I chop it up on making content around the mineral space, the mindset of minerals owners when they're looking to sell, conventional and new age marketing tactics and minerals buying, and much, much more. Let's jump into the episode and hear more of what Stephen, aka the Minerals Guy, had to say. All right, Stephen Hatcher, aka the Minerals Guy, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, great to be here. Yeah, it's been, we talked about doing this for a while and glad to finally do it. So,
you know, we've become good friends over the last few years. We've done a few deals together. And while we were, you know, getting a couple of deals across the line, Minerals Guy was in its infancy. And, yep, you know, we started trading notes, just both being content creators and podcasters in the mineral space. It's a pretty niche little family we got here. But yeah, no, it you really blossomed and are getting some great traction with it. So I'm really interested to dive into what Minerals Guy is, but then kind of behind the veil, you know, what the purpose is. And your audience is the minerals owner, the landowner. My audience is investors and funds and aggregators. So I think it'll be interesting to go on the other side of the fence here. And you're doing things in a new age way, I would say.
Yeah. What I tell folks is that we're not splitting the atom by any stretch. We're just taking what's, you know, been successful in other industries. And you know, we could talk about marketing and oil and gas and just kind of the history of. The crazy thing is that the way folks marketed for minerals 30 years ago is the same exact way that they do it today, which is just crazy. So yeah, man, looking forward to diving in and let's do it.
Well, let's set the stage with a little context personally. So tell me about yourself, you know, personally, what is your skill, your hat that you wear in oil and gas? How long you've been doing minerals? And then what was the moment that, you know, you thought a Minerals Guy? And by the way, I love the name. There's nothing better than when you're thinking of a brand or building a brand, there's nothing better than something simple and clean that just works. And I think you really nailed it. So well done on that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because my wife actually came up with the name because I was thinking like Mineral Pros and she was like, what about Minerals Guy? Everybody needs a guy, you know, like you got a paint guy, you got a, you know, whatever. It's like you got a minerals guy. You know, so yeah, man, I'll just give you a quick background. But I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, went to LSU down there and actually went to law school at LSU as well. I spent my first couple of years, I've actually moved to Shreveport right after I graduated from law school because there was opportunity. I had always been, you know, pretty good and proficient with property law in law school. And this thing called the Haynesville Shale was blowing up. And now I got a job opportunity and went to work for a firm there where I kind of cut my teeth. And we did, you know, I would say 80% of the book of the firm were, you know, E&Ps, right? So it was a lot. Well, actually it was E&Ps and midstream. They did a lot of midstream work as well. But this was kind of in the infancy of the Haynesville Shale. And it was pretty cool because I did a lot of nuts and bolts, you know, oil and gas, land type stuff. Like I drafted a ton of title opinions and, you know, kind of saw how, you know, drilling units are built, you know, from the ground up, which was super, you know, super awesome at that point in my career, and did some pretty gnarly title in, you know, the Bethany Longstreet Field, which has been producing for, you know, 80 years and in different areas around the Haynesville. Did work for Indigo and Exco Resources. And I did a little bit of litigation, but not a ton. We also did transactional work for guys that were coming in and buying acreage positions. We would be local counsel and, you know, helping with title diligence and stuff like that. So it was a really good kind of training ground. And I really loved it. You know, what I found is that I was like super attracted to the industry, one, but really just, you know, putting together a puzzle, right? Because that's really what title is, and taking it all the way back from patent, you know, to present day and seeing, you know, kind of, you know, every piece of land tells a story, right? And it's pretty cool to see the story unfold through title. And, you know, a lot of attorneys, you know, oil and gas attorneys will say, oh God, I hate doing title, but I always kind of enjoyed it, you know? And yeah, so fast forward a couple of years, I went to work for a client of the firm, and they were an independent oil and gas producer with assets, you know, across the Gulf Coast. And they were actually moving into the Rockies at that point. And I went to work for a mentor of mine, a guy by the name of David Barlow. And the company was called Sklar Exploration. And so David moved me to Colorado back in 2014. My wife and I were dating at the time. We ended up getting married and, you know, kind of starting our married life in Colorado. And we've been here for 10 years now. And so, yeah, I mean, at Sklar, we did a lot of pretty wild stuff. I'd say we had some really awesome, you know, conventional oil fields on the Gulf Coast. And we did a bunch of, you know, 3D seismic driven exploration projects. You know, we would put prospects together from the ground up, you know, all the way from an idea in the mind of the geologist to, you know, shooting seismic to putting leases together to actually, you know, putting a rig on location and drilling wells and really just.
It's the old school pre-private equity.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And we had, you know, super strong partners because you got to have strong partners when you're, you know, taking that level of risk. And it was pretty cool too. It was an awesome thing to be a part of. And I think we did projects across like 7 states while, you know, while I was with them and drilled, you know, probably 60 or 70 wells in my 6-year tenure that I was with them. So, I mean, we weren't the biggest producer on the block, but we, you know, in the areas where we played, you know, we were known for, you know, bringing a lot of really awesome expertise and being able to execute. So, yeah, and it was great. Like, so we, myself and a guy named Marshall Jones, we kind of co-ran the land department. I was a GC, he was the head of land. And, you know, just dealing with, you know, title opinions and building pay decks and dealing with all the things, you know, around like mineral rights are the building blocks of an oil and gas company, right? And that was pretty cool. I actually left Sklar back in 2020 and well, I'll back up. So Matthew Montgomery, who you know very well, is my partner in the Haynesville Shale. He actually came to us, I think it was back in 2018, and he said, I want to buy minerals under some of Sklar's producing water flood units. And so we actually put together a plan. And, you know, what Matthew has done, you know, kind of in the mineral space, you know, ties pretty close to kind of the impetus for minerals guy. And because he took a more novel approach to marketing, right? And it was, you know, rather than sending snail mail and cold calling a bunch of folks, we're going to send people a bunch of text messages, right? And so we would just mow down a list and blast out, you know, hundreds of text messages. And then we started doing voicemail drops and all these kind of new things that are not really new anymore. You know, we started like testing like with some of our assets at, you know, my old company. And so, yeah, so I actually left. I left that company in 2020 when the world was falling apart. It was a pretty exciting time to go out on my own. since then, like I've worked with Matthew very consistently, and we've deployed capital across his 3 funds under the Mavlo brand. I also have 4 partners, and we manage a producing asset in the Williston Basin. So I still get to kind of wear my operator hat, you know.
Some of that Bakken content is from your backyard.
Yeah, you got it. That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, where else could you just walk on to a location and just start filming, you know? So, it's been pretty cool, you know, kind of, you know, making our own way, so to speak.
Have you ever found yourself wandering the halls of NAEP feeling lost in the sea of booths and attendees and thinking to yourself, where the hell are all the minerals and non-op executives? Well, my friends, worry no more. On February 8th, NAEP will be launching their inaugural Minerals and Non-Op Hub, which will serve as a dedicated and central location for minerals and non-op executives to network and show deals. For more information, please Google NAEP Minerals and Non-Op Hub or email exhibit@naepexpo.com.
Yeah, I mean, you already mentioned kind of the old school way of marketing. I'd love to peel that back a little bit more, and then the moment you thought a minerals guy or saw the opportunity. I'll start with why I started this podcast. I can't remember if I've told the story on air before, but it was late January of 2020. I was with Energy Council at the time, and Energy Council is a pretty broad platform. And so the idea of starting a podcast was not a new idea. And I'm a big podcast consumer. So I had the styles I liked and, you know, if I was to do it, what, you know, how I would do it. But I didn't want to be like the guy who does like energy news update 101. Like, how am I going to add value, right? It's like starting a newsletter that's a generic energy newsletter. Like, What value adding? There's a million of those. But I was getting more and more focused on minerals. And believe it or not, I was in Fiji, of all places, at a Tony Robbins seminar. And a financial expert spoke about, you know, high net worth and family office and institutional investors. So I raised my hand. I'm like, hey, I'm really focused on this asset class called minerals. And I want to get in front of investors. Do you have any suggestions? And he gave some nonsense answer that had zero value. But I sat down and said, I'm going to do a podcast on minerals. And it was, with time zone change, it was probably like 9 at night, maybe, when this guy called in and we're in the seminar. But it was like 8 in the morning, or it was just with the time zone change, it worked. The people are up, and I started texting mineral CEOs. Hey, I want to start a minerals podcast, and it's going to help attract investment into the space. Can I count on you to do an episode? Yes. And so now I'm texting folks. Sent like 15 texts off. My wife is pissed. She's like, you're not paying attention. Why are we in here? I'm tired. Let's go back.
Why are we even here?
Yeah. And so now I joke around with her now, right? Like, I think 13 out of 15 CEOs said yes within like a minute. And when I came back, I recorded them all and then launched it. And then COVID happened a week later. And then it was time to focus on that, because that's one of the things I had that wasn't taken away with travel and everything. So that's the origin story of Minerals and Royalties podcast. And over to you, origin story of minerals.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I'm a consumer of social media, you know, and, you know, so this was summer of 2022, right? When I first kind of recognized, you know, you have to recognize, like, love it or hate it, like, social media is not going anywhere, right? And video content is extraordinarily powerful, just like audio podcasting content is, right? It's just become like so ingrained in the way that we consume media today. Like, a lot of people don't even watch the news anymore at night, right? They get all their news, you know, through the feed of whatever app that they're scrolling through, right? And so, you know, it really democratizes the media production and consumption, right? Like, the fact that you're a dude that knows something about mineral rights, you know, you started a podcast and all of a sudden, you know, you've built this audience. Like, it's just like the power of the individual, right? To be able to reach out, right? And reach vast audience is just, it's so much bigger, you know, than it's ever been in the past. Right. And so, I mean, what I recognized is, and honestly, I looked at you and I said, you know, Tim's is out there doing it. Right. And, you know, the other thing that I recognize too, is that, like, you know, good ideas are a dime a dozen, right? It's the execution component, you know, that separates people that are successful versus people that aren't, right? And, you know, I saw it and I said, you know what, like, there's no one out there, right, that's trying to develop a personal brand, you know, around mineral rights with mineral rights owners as the audience, right? And here I am, I've got, you know, all this knowledge, right? And if I don't mind being on a camera, right, and putting myself out there, right, there's an opportunity for me to step in and fill this gap, right? And it was just, I mean, that was it. I started talking about it. I talked about it with my wife. I started, like, drafting some content, and actually, like, I filmed the first few videos, like, on my iPhone. And it's funny, because when I would first start filming, you know, it would take me like 2 hours to get like 2 minutes worth of stuff, yep. You know, because you're so critical of yourself, like, especially on video, you know. And, you know, it's interesting, because now I'm just like, whatever, like, I don't care. And it comes off like way more natural and way more off the cuff. But it's just like, it's just like with anything. Like, if you want to learn how to fly fish, you're going to suck at it for at least a year, you know, but eventually you'll become proficient enough, and then you can catch fish by yourself. Right. It's just like with anything in life, you know, you spend enough hours doing anything and you're going to get pretty good at it. And that's not to say that I'm excellent, but I'm a whole lot better today than I was when I started.
I can appreciate that. Right. So I remember the first episode I did, it was with Rand Oliver at Viking Minerals. So shout out to Rand. And I was so pumped, and, like, I found the music I liked, and I recorded the intro, which I get made fun of a lot for, because it's like this dramatic voice I made, but it's funny.
Yeah. I love it, by the way.
Yeah. And I was so excited about it. Right. And I wasn't thinking to myself, I'm the best that ever did this, but I'm like, I think this is pretty good. And I listen back now, and I'm like, wow, I'm way better than I was then. Right. And so this is Rand, if you're listening, I know you got a couple of things in the hopper. Once you close them, we got to have you back on. It's been 3 years, but yeah, I don't know. It's definitely, you pick up tips along the way. You definitely get a little more casual. And then you also realize that consistency and volume is the name of the game. And, really? You know, I went to, again, a Tony Robbins business mastery seminar in August, and a video marketing expert came on and he said, authenticity trumps perfection in today's market. If you can come across as authentic, people connect with it. When it comes across too filtered or perfect, their bullshit meters are so high, right? So,
yep.
And then the other thing is just like, people just don't care. If they just don't like that piece of content, they'll move on. And they're not going to be like, man, that Stephen Hatcher guy on July 22nd, 2022, put out that mediocre piece of content.
That's exactly right.
And he's banned for life. No, they're going to move on. And then in general, if they like you, they're going to consume it. And just, it's your job to win them over and win the race for their attention amongst the gazillion other things that are out there, right?
Yeah, no, that's 100% correct. I mean, like there's a lot of like, you know, self-criticism or, you know, it's like we're harder on ourselves than we are on anybody else, right? And once you kind of get over the fact that most people are concerned with themselves and their daily problems, you know, and they're watching your video and they're enjoying it. And like, you might think it's garbage, but they think it's great. It's like, whatever, you know? And what I've learned is that, you know, and I've tested all different sorts of topics. Like it is super interesting to think about like when I first started making content, because my audience was always intended to be the mineral owner. But at the beginning, like what I was doing is I was basically just videoing a sales pitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was selfish content, right? Is what I realized. I was like, this is really self-serving, you know, because I'm here basically trying to convince somebody why they should sell an asset. And then what I realized through time is it's like, I don't have to convince anybody to sell anything, right? All I need to do is provide education, provide authentic content that these folks can connect with and that they find valuable, right? And if I start there, right, it's like, and that kind of goes to just marketing for minerals in general. Maybe we can, you know, kind of flip to that after this. But, you know, what I realized is that you provide value first, right? It needs to be like you build a relationship. And the cool thing about social media and video especially is that these people can see my face, right? You know, they can hear your voice, right? You can tell when someone's being authentic versus when someone's bullshit. Excuse my French. But yeah. And so I definitely like I have stumbled, you know, and I say that I paid the idiot tax on a lot of stuff when I started, you know. But you get better through time and you figure out kind of what the audience wants. And if you give these people what they want, then they're going to give you what you want, right? And my ultimate goal through all of this was like, okay, I'm going to provide authentic, valuable content through video to mineral owners. And what I hope that it will build is it will build reputation in the minds of these mineral owners such that they think of me if they ever want to sell. And that was the original thesis. And we can talk about like all the infrastructure and everything that I've built on the back end, but it works. I'll just tell you that it's working.
Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick break from the conversation to say thank you to all of our podcast sponsors. Looking to ramp up deal flow for your minerals and non-op ground game? Since 2019, the Texas Mineral Company has closed on over 120 deals, totaling $110 million in value, with deal sizes ranging from $50,000 upwards of $5 million. Whether you're looking for white space, permit, duck, PDP, AFE, or wellbore-only deals, the Texas Mineral Company has got you covered. For more information on how to source deal flow from the Texas Mineral Company, please email Toby Martinez at toby@thetexasmineralcompany.com. Over the past 20 years, Riverbend Energy Group has been the definitive leader in the non-op and mineral space, where they are actively acquiring minerals in the Delaware Basin, Midland Basin, the Williston, and the Eagleford. Following their $1.8 billion sale of their non-op platform in 2022, they are also back actively acquiring non-op interests in the Delaware Basin, Midland Basin, and Williston. If you have minerals or non-op working interests in these areas that you would like to sell, then please visit www.riverbendenergygroup.com for more information. Farmers National Company has oil and gas experts located across the country ready to provide you unmatched convenience and service for your land management needs. Whether you're looking for turnkey management of oil and gas interests or simply looking for an advisor to help you sell or lease your minerals, Farmers National Company has you covered. Learn more about Farmers National Company's team of certified mineral managers, landmen, attorneys, and accountants by going to fncenergy.com or reach out directly at energy@farmersnational.com. Does your team ever struggle with employee turnover? What about right-sizing your team to fit your company's needs over time? Do you have the right accounting systems and software in place to maintain control and visibility on all your cost centers? If any of these things are challenges in your business, then Oportun's back office outsourcing could be the right solution. For more information, please visit www.oportun.com.
It's the same thing. I mean, that's what branding is, right? It's like Nike. You know, is there anything special about the shirt that has a swoosh on it? No, but when you go to buy a shirt for the gym, I'm more inclined personally to pick the Nike one. Why? Because it means something in my brain and it's just been programmed over the years to mean something. Let's be honest, Steven, you're not the only mineral buyer out there. And there's a lot of folks that have similar capabilities, but what are you going to do in, you know, the phone call race or the snail mail race that's going to differentiate you? I'm in the same thing. I mean, with my business, I just want to provide value. This in content, there's two ways to provide value. There's educate or entertain, right?
Yep.
You know, you think about why do people pay so much for a baseball game? Because they're being entertained. They're being put in a good state out of their day-to-day grind and they're enjoying themselves. And then there's people, you know, you tune into content that you learn something. And so you can add real value, then the people will follow. And that relationship is real, right? You don't have to go in cold. They know, they feel like they know you a bit. And that's the cool thing about video. And so let's dive into the marketing aspect of it from two angles. Number one is tactical. So walk me through kind of the tactics that you've seen that you think are a little saturated. And then let's just talk about going in the shoes of the mineral owner and, you know, what you're trying to do to provide value for them and your experience in the conversations with them, pre-minerals guy and then post-minerals guy, the relationships you built, because you said it works, right?
Totally. Yeah.
And so let's start with the tactics. You know, I did an episode with Jace Graham at Rising Phoenix Royalties a couple years back. He's a real estate guy as well. And he talked about going to real estate masterminds to rip all the latest marketing technologies and strategies and put it into minerals. And I was like, man, that's brilliant, right? Because he's just like, there is zero barrier to entry in real estate. And he's like, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is trying to sell a house, but they're always looking for the next marketing edge. And he's like, some of this shit is like old in real estate and you're like, you look like a genius in minerals, right? And so let's talk tactics, tactical warfare on the marketing side. Over to you.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said earlier, right? In the mineral space, you know, most companies are taking the same approach that were taken 40 years ago, right? And I'm going to send a flyer in the mail and I'm going to cold call people, right? And there's been effectively zero evolution, right? Or very few people are using or leveraging digital media, right? To reach folks. And that's not to say that, you know, folks aren't, you know, using Google AdWords or, you know, trying to appear in search results and doing all that. So there's that component as well. It's like how you're ranking on specific search terms. But, you know, for the most part, and look, this is not to knock the flyer game, right? Because the flyer game can work, right? And it's not to knock cold calling, you know, because what I'll say as well is that, you know, the companies that are going to succeed the most when it comes to ground game are the folks that do have an excellent sales staff, right? Because at the end of the day, what I've even seen through Minerals Guy is, you know, I can generate leads like crazy, right? But if you can't take a lead and actually get them to a closed sale, right, then that lead is basically worthless, right? And there's a couple of components of that. One is like, can you clear the market, right? Because, you know, you know, I can generate leads, you know, out the wazoo, but if you want to pay, you know, 20% below market, then you're not going to buy anything, right? And that's not to say that, you know, there aren't, you know, guys that are running around and getting below market deals, because, you know, there certainly are, but the space has gotten just so, you know, unbelievably competitive, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, look, that's pretty much it, you know, flyers, you know, Google AdWords and cold calls, right? And so there's really, you know, not that many groups that are leveraging digital media, right? And so, you know, my goal is not only to leverage digital ads, right? It's the combination of this brand, right? The Minerals Guy, right? This guy that is going to shoot you straight, you know, that's going to treat you like you're a human being, right? And is going to provide something of value to you, right? With the expectation that you don't give him anything in return, right? So it's the combination of personal brand, you know, plus digital ads that has proven to be, you know, that's proven to be very, very effective.
Yeah. What I found, you know, for years, how I built my relationships was the one-to-one conversations and kind of coming in, and I felt I would make an impression on folks who they'd walk away and be like, wow, that guy knows a lot. He might be able to add value to what I'm doing, right? And so brick by brick, I was kind of building these relationships from the beginning of my career. And then when I started doing this podcast, what I found amazing was instead of me outreaching, I started getting inbounds. And the multiplier effect of my network was profound. And I was, let's call it relationship building, a 10-step process. I was starting at the fourth, fifth step on the first call, which is pretty cool. There's something about, we'll get into skepticism on the minerals owner side, right? Just in general, with building a relationship with someone they don't know you, there might be a healthy level of skepticism on your ethics or your morality. Are you telling the truth? Do you have a hidden agenda? The more you're on the record, if you're not being authentic or telling the truth, you're going to contradict yourself or trip up at some point. So I'd imagine one of the brilliant things about Minerals Guy is that, it's not, you're not in a closed door setting with a minerals owner where they may think you're spinning them a wheel of lies just to get a deal done. Everyone can access it. And then if you're consistently doing that over time, there's going to be a natural trust that's born. But, walk me into the shoes of the minerals owner and like what you found over time. I imagine what you're saying on Minerals Guy is very similar to the conversations you had through your whole career, right? And now it's a similar path to me, but different kinds of conversations, different relationships you're building, but over to you.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've made my fair share of cold calls, and honestly, I think everyone should, what I'm saying? Like, because there's a level of, you learn a lot from, making cold calls, so there's a couple of different things. You're 100% correct about inbound leads, right? 100% of the leads that I generate are all inbound, which is awesome, which means that rather than making 99 phone calls and having 95 people tell me to, go F myself, right? Every single person that calls me, right? Or opts in, right? Fills out a survey. I have every single one of my leads is qualifying themselves before I ever speak to them on the phone, right? Which is pretty great. And they actually want to talk to me, right? So it's more of a conversation around like, tell me your story. How can I help you? Like what's going on? You received another offer. You've received no offers. Like, what's the deal? And then it just naturally opens up to, folks being like way more, they want to talk to you versus people that are just like, oh my God, here's another, mineral buyer that's blowing me up. That's been one of the biggest differences, I'd say, with running these digital campaigns that we're running, is that folks actually want to talk to you. I'm talking to, several, mineral owners per week. And I've got a system that basically helps me to high grade leads as they come in so that I know kind of how big they are. What are we talking about? How do you decide what to focus on? Right. And, my experience, and granted, like this is, we're launched in the Haynesville. We're hoping to launch really across the US in 2024. But what I'll tell you is that if you're a mineral owner in the Haynesville Shale and you own more than, call it 10 acres, right, you're pretty well educated at this point about what it is that you got, right? And the reason for that is that these people, these folks, right, they're getting constantly bombarded, and we've seen like the level of competition in the Haynesville really within the past 2 years has just absolutely shot through the roof, right? It has become an extraordinarily competitive basin. And so folks are, but that's part of, kind of creating a market, right? Is the fact that there are multiple buyers out there that are well-funded, that are ready to trade on certain terms, right? It's the big problem with minerals, and everybody knows this, is there is a enormous lack of trust, right? Between mineral sellers and mineral buyers because of the asymmetry of information, right? Because what we do, it's not like folks can go to Zillow, right? And they can pull up their mineral tract, and they can see, within 5 minutes, within a, standard deviation, what their home is worth, right? Minerals are way more complex than that. Like mineral buying back in the day was pretty backwater, right? I mean, it was not institutionalized the way it is today, right? And so, there are many stories of, Farmer John sold his minerals, and then 2 weeks later, rig moves in, massive discovery, and he sold it for, pennies on the dollar, right? And that's where the old saying, never sell your minerals comes from. Because if you don't understand what it is and somebody wants to buy it, then they must know something that you don't about the value of it, right? So don't sell it to them, right? So, there's still a pretty healthy level of that. But what I'll say is that, you know, the folks that, and granted, the folks that are opting in and requesting offers through my platform, these are folks that are considering selling, right? So this is not the vast majority of mineral owners out there. So I can't speak for them because I'm not talking to them. But most of these folks are getting, you know, especially if they're in hot areas where there's a recent unit order that's come out or permits. I mean, they're getting like 3, 4, 5 phone calls a week, you know, multiple flyers. I mean, they have a pretty good idea of where the market is.
On the back of what you said, if they're pretty educated and they're getting bombarded, where does Minerals Guy fit in?
Yeah, I think I'm a face, right? And they can see me on camera. Like they can see me in an ad that shows up in their feed, right? And so there's an instant level of connection, you know, that humans have, you know, whenever they can connect with a face. And so, yeah, I mean, look, I'm talking like these folks opt in, we talk to them, you know, some of them, you know, we don't end up making trades with, right? Some of them we do. Some of them have, you know, extraordinary price expectations. What I'll say is it's typically the smaller tracts, like, you know, 1 to 2 net mineral acres where folks think that their minerals are worth $1 million. And I'm at the point now where I get to that really quick and I'm like, I'm not the buyer for you, you know, and you should just hold and see what happens, you know? But yeah, I mean, most folks that are calling are, they have an offer in hand, right? They kind of understand what it is. They're able to connect with a video that I post and they just want to understand more. Like, is this legit, right? Are these other offers low balls? Are they kind of in the ballpark? You know, could you do better? Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't.
Yeah. And like the level of education, because you're walking me through going back to the whiteboard now, and you're coming up with content. I think your model is different, right? I have a guest model. So, you know, I could theoretically create endless content because I could always have different people on. But then, you know, the devil's advocate in your mind says, well, what if you run out of people? The mineral space isn't that big. Yeah. But, you know, you constantly you come up with new ideas. I have a non-op series. I expanded a non-op. I have Kitchen Table War Stories, which is my entertainment angle, right? Going back to the educate, entertain. And then, you know, folks continue to do deals and new funds form and all that stuff. But you're a solo act, right? So in the beginning, it's like, man, this is great. There's tons to talk about. Let's talk about the asset class of minerals. And then you get through. I'm sure there was a point, we haven't talked about this, but I'm sure there was a point where you're like, oh shit, I talked about minerals. What do I do now? I don't know when that was. That was third week, third month, 9 month, whatever. But where are you at creatively and what have you seen gets, because the beautiful thing about social media is like TikTok or Facebook or LinkedIn, YouTube, they don't really care who you are or what you're doing. But if you get views and people like it, you'll get put on, right? So, because they just want attention. So if you're getting your posts that are getting the most likes, the most interaction, the ones going viral, what is it about? And what have you started to lean into a little bit more? And then just direct feedback, right? Surveys, building relationships with these folks. What have they told you?
No, you're 100% correct. And I think what you realize, well, what you know, is that minerals is incredibly niche, right? And education for mineral owners is incredibly niche. And, you know, one of the things that I pretty quickly realized when I started posting content is that I would have to go broader in some aspects, right? In order to get more eyeballs so that I could build following and then basically be able to reach the people that I wanted to actually reach, right? So it's kind of, you got to go broad to then go back narrow. And what I'll tell you is that like there's, you know, I've got, you know, probably 7 kind of broad categories, you know, of content, right? One of those is niche education. The other thing that I've found that is incredibly effective is, you know, is talking about how minerals are valued. It's talking about, you know, appraisals, you know, for certain mineral tracts. Is something that I've leaned into. You know, what's a good price? What's a bad price? You can get, you know, there's a ton that you can do kind of in that realm. Market updates. I haven't really started this, but I just onboarded a marketing coordinator and she's like, you need to start doing some of that.
Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick break from the conversation to say thank you to all of our podcast sponsors. Your property is your legacy, so you should only leave it in the hands of a land management company who has a legacy of its own. If you own oil and gas interests or act as a fiduciary for those who do, you can find a long-term partner at Farmers National Company, who, since 1929, has taken great pride in helping clients maximize the benefits of property ownership by providing turnkey management services and by working alongside them through generational transfers of specialized assets such as oil and gas interests and farmland. To learn more, visit fncenergy.com or reach out directly at energy@farmersnational.com. Since 2019, the Texas Mineral Company has been a leading ground game broker for minerals and non-op deals, closing over 120 transactions across the Permian, SCOOP/STACK, Haynesville, Bakken, Powder River Basin, DJ, and Eagleford, with deal sizes ranging from $50K upwards of $5 million and 1.5 NRAs upwards of 3,500 NRAs. The Texas Mineral Company can be flexible on where and how they can source your deal flow. For more information on how your team can work with the Texas Mineral Company, please email Toby Martinez at toby@thetexasmineralcompany.com. Scaling up your portfolio while minimizing G&A is the name of the game in the minerals and non-op space. Whether you're a brand new fund, an established team who's growing quickly, or a fully developed portfolio in harvest mode, Opportune's back office outsourcing team can help. Stop worrying about all the headaches that come along with day-to-day accounting and back office operations and contact Opportune today. For more information, please visit www.opportune.com. Over the past 20 years, Riverbend Energy Group has been the definitive leader in the non-op and mineral space, where they are actively acquiring minerals in the Delaware Basin, Midland Basin, the Williston, and the Eagleford. Following their $1.8 billion sale of their non-op platform in 2022, they are also back actively acquiring non-op interests in the Delaware Basin, Midland Basin, and Williston. If you have minerals or non-op working interests in these areas that you would like to sell, then please visit www.riverbendenergygroup.com for more information.
Yeah, I think energy updates within minerals, or, you know, your background, you know, updates around, you know, different types of legislation that affect minerals. Yeah. Stuff like that is totally relevant.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And when I set out, like, my goal was never to monetize on YouTube, get a million subscribers on YouTube or a million followers on Instagram. Like that's not what I don't need to do that in order to be incredibly successful, right? What I needed was to establish a presence, to establish myself as an authority, right? And then, you know, and then be able to reach folks right inside my niche. Like, that's always been the goal, right? And what I found is that when you start riffing on certain, like, kind of content ideas, it just one idea begets another, right? And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, 30 short scripts. I have not had a hard time, you know, coming up with short form content. And the other thing that you recognize too through time is that as you're A/B testing, like, different types of creatives and, you know, different topics, you realize, like, you can see, like, statistically, like, what is doing better than, you know, than everything else, right? And so it just becomes of, okay, well, I need to iterate on that and I need to lean, you know, harder into what's working, right? In order to give my audience basically what it is that they want to see.
Yeah. And so getting, you know, nerding out a little bit on the tactical side of the execution of the content, it's all short form, right? You're not doing long form interviews. It's just you talk platforms, talk length of videos.
Yes, and absolutely. Yeah. So it's interesting because I started thinking that YouTube, like, long form YouTube content was where I wanted to be, right? And what I very quickly realized is that short form vertical video is kind of king right now when it comes to video, like all the TikTok style videos, because it's very difficult to grow on YouTube, right? So kudos to anybody that can create, you know, a YouTube subscribership, but it's incredibly difficult to do because you have to, in order to get listed in search results, you have to bring people in, keep them engaged through the entire video. And I'm definitely going to continue to do, like, more, you know, longer form educational content, like, on YouTube. But what I've leaned into over the past 6 months is basically 20 to 30 second short form, you know, videos on very specific topics is what I've found to be the most successful. And, you know, for my purposes, you know, strangely enough, like, Facebook is where I want to be. And it's like, well, why do you want to be on Facebook versus Instagram or TikTok or YouTube? And the reason for that is that, you know, my audience are baby boomers, basically. I mean, if you do a demographic append of any mineral ownership list, I don't care where it is, North Dakota, you know, down all the way down to Louisiana, what you're going to find is that, you know, 60 to 70% of that population of that list is going to be baby boomers and older. So it's like, who are we talking to, right? We're talking to grandmas and grandpas. And where are grandmas and grandpas? They are on Facebook.
And they're slowly scrolling and engaging with the content. They're not like our generation that does this and just flips through. Yeah, for anyone kind of interested, just if you don't know the name Gary Vaynerchuk, engage his content. He always says his skill set is God-given talent is day trading attention. So he talks about just the age demographics and being different things, being the same person, but delivering different content, having different personalities on different platforms. Because the same person goes to TikTok and YouTube and LinkedIn for different reasons. So they have different personalities essentially in their mind when they consume, which is really interesting, right? And you're spot on with the short form. I'll tell kind of a funny story. So my daughter, Victoria, is 8. She started a YouTube channel like 4 or 5 months ago. And it's super cute, right? She walks around and she does these videos. They're very ridiculous and silly. And we told her, you got to edit them yourself. So some of them are just like a mess that you could tell like an 8-year-old did it. And some of them are actually kind of cool and fun, but it's been her own little thing. Now I bring this up because, you know, she's a kid, like she's not marketing it. So a video will get 5 views, 20 views, and then one will get like 10,000 views and they're all shorts. And it's like, there's one of my son doing a belly flop into the pool. And we had a party drinking in the pool. We're all going nuts and like thing like viral in her world. Right. And there's gotta be something about people want to see belly flops. I don't know what the algorithm is, but it was a short that was like 8 seconds. And I think the goal is with shorts is to pique the interest. And then the end goal is some long form content or for you, a conversation, a relationship, right? And I even think just spitballing, you could evolve into even behind a wall, like private, you know, round tables and stuff like that, you know, in-person stuff, whatever. That, like that could be, you know, down the road as you develop the audience, because there would be appetite for it. Because that's the thing. People say, oh, you got to do 30, 60-second clips because people have ADD and nowadays it's awful. You can't get anyone to pay attention. It's like, people will watch a 2-hour video if they want to. You just have to
be right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the algorithms are incredibly finicky. And, you know, it's probably not good for the human brain, you know, the whole TikTok style videos, you know, but you can see it like in the analytics on the videos, like what Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, basically, if you don't capture the attention of the user within the first 2 seconds, gone, and you will get no engagement, right? And the longer you can keep their attention span in that 20 to 30 seconds, basically the way that I understand the way the algorithm works is that it'll show it to you. You post your video, it gets shown to call it 100 people, right? And then the algorithm will look at it. It'll say, okay, well, you know, 40% of those people watch this video for 5 seconds or 10 seconds or 15 seconds. And then it will show it to more and more and more and more people, right? And so the virality of any piece of content is directly related to how long you can keep their attention. And what you'll find is that like shorter videos, like that 8-second video that you were talking about, a shorter video is going to perform, you know, far and away better than a 40-second video, right? Because you're getting people to watch the whole thing. And if you can get them to watch it over and over again, right? Or twice, then all of a sudden it just skyrockets, right? And so, yeah, it has been pretty interesting. We've had a couple of posts that have gone viral on Facebook, which was kind of crazy. Like I was running around like a little kid. Yeah. You know, it was fun, you know? And then the high of that kind of dies down, but we're steadily growing. Like Facebook is where we want to grow. We're at about 10,000 followers, you know, on Facebook, which is really kind of a baseline for what I think we need to establish like authority in the minds of the mineral owner. Like they see a piece of content, they come to the page and they realize that, you know, this is not just, you know, some random dude, like that I'm actually doing this. I'm doing it consistently and I'm providing value.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on as a form of supplementary content to what you're doing. You know, this is more of a serious conversation and seeing the business side of you. So, you know, hopefully anyone who engages with your content that comes across this and hasn't spoken to you yet will kind of see, you know,
yeah, different side. Absolutely.
You're the real deal. This is, you know, oh, wow. Like, okay, he's educating me. This guy has a, you know, the credentials. He's executing. He's in the space. I want to reach out to him, right? It's kind of the goal.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, going back to another point you made earlier is, you know, I mean, there's, you know, call it, you know, 1% of mineral owners in America are thinking about selling their minerals, right? There's an enormous population of people who will never sell, right? And one of the things that I've gotten to over the past, you know, couple of months is those people can still be a customer, right? They don't have to sell their minerals, you know, to a fund that I'm working for, right? And so thinking about, you know, how, you know, what are ways to monetize that audience, you know, and it's in the form of, you know, paid courses, ebooks. Like there's, if you look at the economics on some of that stuff, it's kind of insane. If you have a captive audience that, you know, sees you as an authority, right? If, you know, if I could sell 1,000 people, you know, $1,000 course or a $500 course or 10,000 people, $100 course, there's I still think that there is, you know, that mineral owners in general can, you know, they are my audience and there are ways to monetize the never sellers, so to speak.
No, I mean, for sure. The other thing too is just the never sellers will pass away. At some point, there'll be fragmentation in that mineral ownership to heirs who maybe know nothing about the mineral space. And then you're probably in the sphere of influence and then, you know, you're hanging around the hoop, right? No, I think it's the masterclass model is kind of what you're alluding to previous to that. It's a massive thing. I think last stats I saw, it's like a $40 billion industry, masterclasses online, because the traditional model, and I'm not poo-pooing university and college. I mean, I went to Rice University. Education was very important to my family, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity, right? But, you know, that being said, being entrepreneurial, I kind of look at the current framework of the economy and business and how people are. And I'm just like, man, you know, if you're mature enough and you don't need the social building aspects of the college experience, if you just did an immersive experience in 2 weeks, you know, I'm a big seminar guy. You know, I've been to 12 Tony Robbins events. A lot of them are business oriented. I just came back from a Joe Dispenza event with my wife 2 hours ago. These are immersive experiences where you completely check out for a week. 12, 18 hours a day, tons of content. It's interactive. And you come out not like thinking about studying for an exam. You are a part of this new strategy and content you learn. So people say, you know, screw that. I don't want to have, you know, $250,000 worth of debt over 4 years. I want to go learn from minerals guy who's been buying for 10 years and not have a PhD in the theory of minerals buying. He's got, right, you know, a PhD in the track record of minerals buying. And if I want to buy minerals or whatever, right? If this is an example, that's what the world kind of craves. And then it's super interesting that you could be, you know, any kind of skill set or trade in the world. And maybe you're retiring or you're trying to do a side hustle and you could, you know, there's someone in the world that isn't to where you're at that could benefit from what you know. And if you aren't, you know, going back to execution, I can't tell you how I'm an open book. Like if people are saying, you know, I'd love to, you have a podcast that's interesting. Like I've always thought about it, the benefits of, for the business or thinking about it, I go, okay, here's all the equipment. Here's the programs. This is what you got to do. This is the cost. I have different resources. If you want to scale it and be cost efficient, good luck. And I'm here. Any questions you have? And I would say 98% of people never even look at any of this stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, if you do start it, I say the main challenge of content is like consistency. So if it's kind of fun and sexy in the beginning, but then you get busy, family stuff, travel, you got to be consistently putting it out there, right? So, yeah, I don't know, a little bit of a tangent there, but it's a cool world. And if you have an audience, you have optionality.
No, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And the first goal is there an audience? You know, can you build it? And how do you build it? It's like, well, you provide value and you apply consistency to that. And yeah, and then it grows. So
yeah. Well, listen, Stephen, tons of fun having you on. We're kind of just gabbing back and forth about content strategy and everything, but I hope everyone enjoyed the conversation. If you don't know Stephen, he's a super good guy. I encourage you to reach out to him. If you don't know him, I'm happy to connect you personally, but fantastic. You know, congrats on what you're building and identifying a opportunity in the market, a way to differentiate what marketing is. That's what business is at the end of the day. It's innovation and marketing. And, you know, it's phenomenal. It's adding value to the mineral space. That's what I try to do collectively. You know, hopefully we're moving the ball down the field and, you know, looking forward to continuing to see your audience grow and collaborating some more in the future.
Love it, man. Yeah. Thank you very much for having me on. Yeah.
You bet.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed. The Minerals and Royalties podcast is meant for informational purposes only. Tim Powell and the Minerals and Royalties Authority are not promoting any specific securities or investments, nor are they providing any type of investment advice. If you enjoyed the episode, then I encourage you to tune in more and also check out the Minerals and Royalties Authority YouTube channel. Thanks and see you next time.